If you have your Bible with you, I know it's a little bit more of a challenge if with a candle in your hand, but we will turn to John chapter 1, John chapter 1, and we'll be reading the first 14 verses, John chapter 1, beginning with verse number 1. We all appreciate light, don't we? We use it pretty much all the time. We wake up, usually the sun is out. Or if you're a guy and you wake up at 4:35 or thereabout, it's not light out, but you flip the light switch on, and we appreciate lights. And of course, that's one of the highlights of the Christmas season is going around the neighborhood and seeing the lights. Have any of you been by the house on Irville Street if you live in Sterling Heights? I see some of you have, and they just go hog wild and I don't know how their neighbors sleep at night. They must have to have really, really good covers over their windows, but it's pretty amazing. But light is very pretty. And as we look at our candles that we're holding, they're not exceptionally bright. But when they shine in a dark room, they make a lot of light. It's the difference between you being able to see and not see. And so we are, as the Bible says, to let our light shine. And so in order to show the light, we have to receive the light. And the light is Jesus, as he called himself, the light of the world. So I'm going to read the first 14 verses of the book of John, and we will see the word light many times. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And of course, the Word is just a reference to Jesus. He is the Word. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's ask God's blessing on our time in his Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be in your house today. And Lord, we thank you for the special service that we have. And Lord, we thank you most of all for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was willing to humble himself and come to be born in a very lowly place, so that he could die for our sins. And we just thank you for our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have to receive the light. One thing we can appreciate about light is that it informs us of reality. When you were a kid, maybe you feared something scary underneath your bed. Maybe you thought there was something scary in the closet. Well, if you flip the light switch on, it shows you that there's nothing to be afraid of. It dispels the fear and the doubt. The light has been turned on. And God gives us light so that we can see things the way they really are. Satan wants the world to stay in darkness. He wants them to believe anything except the truth. It is the truth that offends people. It is the truth that people get riled up about. It's God's word that stirs up animosity. Because the devil doesn't want people to see the truth. And so we have to receive the light from the way, the truth, and the life, who is Jesus Christ. So we need the light of Christ. We need the light first and foremost for salvation. The Bible tells us that the gospel is light. I know it's a little harder for you to turn your pages, so I'll read the verses for us. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, I'll read verse 3. It says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world," now that's talking about the devil, and God is a little g, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And so we need the light of the gospel. We need to receive the light that God has given to us. A lot of people doubt. They have differences of opinions. But God shines the light as to who we are and how we can know Christ as our Savior in His Word. A lot of people doubt that they're sinners. Today they're told that the reason you do the bad things that you do is because of how you were raised or because of what so-and-so did to you. Therefore, you did those bad things. But the Bible tells us that we're sinners. That's why we do bad things, because we have a sin nature. And then also the Bible tells us what happens to sinners. As Adam and Eve followed the devil to eat of the forbidden fruit, and thus we are sinners today, the devil, he's going to go to the lake of fire where he deserves, and then sinners who have followed the devil as well follow the devil to the lake of fire. So God shows us the light. He shows us the truth. And then the fact is, God doesn't want us to go to hell. I praise the Lord that God is a God of love. He will send sinners to the lake of fire who do not repent of their sin and trust Him as Savior. But praise the Lord, He sent Jesus Christ to be the Savior so that we can have the light of the gospel. So Jesus died in our place. And then it's by simply asking Jesus for the gift of eternal life that we can have our destination changed from the lake of fire to the glory of heaven. So it's important we have the true light, the correct light. Verse 9, it says, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." That's speaking, of course, of Jesus. Jesus is the true light. The devil, of course, he's a master deceiver. He likes to trick us. And the Bible says that he transforms himself into an angel of light. So the devil tries to make things that are wrong, wrong ways to get to heaven, appear to be right. And a lot of people fall for it, unfortunately. And so we have Jesus. He is the true light. He is the light. There are also no excuses for not having the light of the gospel. Verse 9, it says, "That was the true light." It says, "Which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Sometimes people ask, what about the people in the rainforest in Africa? What about them? Can they be saved because no one is preaching the gospel to them? Well, God does want missionaries to be sent, and God does call missionaries to go to everywhere around the world. That's what Jesus said, to the uttermost part of the earth. But God has also done something for those who haven't gotten to hear the gospel yet. He has given them some light. It lights every man. Jesus lights every man that comes into the world. He shows them a glimpse of himself. And there have been some really interesting stories about someone in a tribe in Africa, and they don't know anything, or maybe they're in the jungle in South America, and they ask God, now they don't know who He is, but they ask God to show Himself to them. And then, lo and behold, a few years later, a missionary comes their way, and they receive the truth. And so God has given something to every single man, woman, and child who's ever walked the face of the earth to show us Himself and to help us receive the gospel. So there are no excuses. We all need salvation. We need Jesus as the light. We need the light of the gospel. Our responsibility is to believe and receive. Verse 12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." So if we believe, we can receive, is what verse 12 is telling us. So that is our responsibility. Jesus came, He did all the work on the cross, so it's our job to believe what He did was for us as sinners. And then we ask Him to save us and take us to heaven. And so our responsibility is to believe. Now, what's really surprising is that they didn't receive Christ. The Bible says in verse 10, it says, "The world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not." Now you think about the Apostle Paul, and he lists his pedigree. He says, "I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. After the straitest sect of the Pharisees, He grew up, and then he talks about his zeal for the law. And he says there, I mean, he really had an impressive resume among his people. They would have looked up to him in great awe. But imagine Jesus' resume. I made the whole world. I own it all. I am your Messiah, and I am God. Imagine Jesus' resume. And yet, because he was veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, as Joy to the World tells us, the lyrics go, because Jesus was veiled in flesh, they didn't look at him as God. Jesus is the King of Kings, he is the Lord of Lords, but they didn't see him that way, and they rejected him. He proved with his miracles and by his teachings that he was unlike any other that has ever been born. And yet, as we looked at last Sunday night, as my dad is going through John chapter 8, they accused him of being a Samaritan and having a devil inside of him. They accused him of being demon-possessed, but yet he was the God of the universe. So they made the wrong choice, those in Jesus' day who did not receive him, did not believe on him. But we don't have to make the wrong choice. We can make the right choice, receiving Jesus Christ as the Savior of our soul. So to those who have received Christ already, we have the light. And now we still need the light. We don't just need the light for salvation to receive the gospel, but we need the light also for instruction. And so Psalm 119, if you're able to turn there, I'd encourage you to turn, but if not, I'll read it for you. Psalm 119, it's the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. We want to look at Psalm 119, verse 130. Psalm 119, 130. Down in Ohio, my dad and a couple other pastors started a Bible Institute, and this was the theme verse of the Bible Institute. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The entrance of God's word gives us light. So we need the light of Christ for salvation, but then as we live the saved life, we need the light of God for our instruction. So as we read the Word of God, as we take it in, it gives light to our eyes. It instructs us. It tells us how we ought to live. The Ten Commandments and many others, God shows us how we ought to live. Now, if you make something, if you're in manufacturing, you are the brains of the operation. You design the product. Does anyone know the product any better than you do? They don't. You made it. You know every facet about it. You know how it's put together. You know what each piece does, how it all works together. Well, who made us? God did. And so God knows us better than anyone else, and he knows how we ought to live. And he tells us in his word how we are to live. So God's word gives us that light. It gives us instruction. We live in a very dark world. I'm turning to John 8:12. We know we live in a dark world, and here Jesus informs us as to who he is. John 8:12 says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, now we learned in Sunday school, Jacob was telling us to be a follower of Christ means you stick closely to him, like an adhesive. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus' disciples followed him. He called them. He said, come follow me. And they responded to the call. And so as we respond to the call to follow Christ, to learn of him, we also have that light of life that he gives to us. I'm turning to 2 Peter 1:19. The Bible, speaking of itself, Peter writes, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Now, what he's talking about, what he said in the verses ahead of it, he says that we were with Jesus, and Peter was. He was there on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus shined bright as the sun, and Moses was there, and they had a conversation about Jesus' death on the cross that was soon to come. And Peter got to see that. Peter also, after that episode, heard God himself speak from heaven. Now, I've never heard God speak. I know when he speaks to me personally on the inside, but I've never heard him speak in my ears. But Peter did. And Peter heard some phenomenal things. But he says, even though I heard a voice from heaven, and it was God himself, he says, we have a more sure word, more guaranteed to be true. And that's the Bible. And so that's why we base our lives on God's word. It gives us the light that we need. A more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. That is when Jesus returns for us. And so God's word gives us the instruction that we need. We know we live in a dark world. And sometimes we use the expression, the light went off, in our mind when we have a thought that just is special and is powerful to us. And I saw something online. It showed what happens when Amish people get a really bright idea, and it, instead of a light, it was a candle. That was kind of funny. I got a kick out of that. But we live in a dark world. We have the light in God's word that tells us how to live. That's why it's so important to read it, because we need that instruction, or we'll make a mess of our lives. We live in a very foolish world. Yeah, they call it abortion, but it's killing babies. This world thinks that divorce is okay, and they look at it almost as normal. It's unfortunate. People think adultery is okay as long as you don't get caught. Pornography is viewed as a First Amendment right. And we think there's nothing wrong with cussing or using God's name in vain. You know, the things we see on television shouldn't be on television. People think it's okay to cheat on your taxes, again, so long as you don't get caught. These are things that unsaved people brag about. This is unrighteousness. This is wickedness. This is foolishness. People are not walking according to the light of God's word. But we can try to stay clean. Some of the dirt of the world, though, is going to rub off on us. We can't help it. It's just the way it is. What are we going to use that's going to clean us, to cleanse us from the world and the world's ways? Of course, it's none other than the word of God. Christ sanctifies and he cleanses his church, as he says, with the washing of water by the word. Now, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but how many of you took a shower between today or yesterday? Hope most of you did. I didn't notice anyone that smelled funny when they came in. But we need that cleansing regularly. We need showers often, because it doesn't take us long and we're dirty again. God's word is what cleanses us. And so we need to read it day after day after day. Every day we need God's word. And so we have the light of God's word. It's a light that shines in a dark place. The Bible says it is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, as you hold your candle, you know it doesn't light up the whole room, but it does light up the songbook in front of you. It does light up your Bible. It gives you enough light just to see where you're going, just one or two steps ahead. And God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It is that same way. It shows us the next step that we're to take. And as we continue to follow God, we'll wind up going in the right direction. We have the standard of right and wrong with us in God's word. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding, or wisdom, we could say, unto the simple. So we have God's word for salvation, or rather the light for salvation. We have the light for our instruction. We have the light for our sanctification. If you would turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We know some of the most familiar verses in the Bible are, well, John 3:16 is here. Jesus is speaking with Nicodemus. What does he say after John 3:16? We'll start in verse number 19 and we'll read down to 21. Jesus says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Of course, Jesus is speaking of himself. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, or examined, or seen in for what they really are. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And so we have God's Word as a light for our sanctification. We like light. Light is a wonderful thing. We have it all around us all the time, and we're very blessed to have electricity 24/7 where we can always turn the light on. The question is, do we really love the light? And this is where the rubber meets the road. Because there's something else that light does. It reveals things. You see, you can go to a very dark environment and you may not know what's on the floor, what's around you, but when you turn a light on, you can see everything. For an example, a place that I don't go, but a bar. A lot of nasty things happen there. People lose what's in their stomach and drinks get spilled and they don't get cleaned up and it's just a filthy place. Surprise, surprise, they keep the lights low because they don't want you to see what it really looks like. And so dark atmospheres don't show everything that's there. You can't see it. But when you put the light on it, you can see it. Light reveals what is there. And the light of Christ is going to show us our faults and our failures. Now, again, you don't have to raise your hand, but do you, when you look in the mirror, are you looking first thing in the morning to see how great you look? Is that why you look in the mirror when you first wake up? I don't think so. You might think you look pretty good, but when you roll out of bed, we usually don't look very good. But you look in the mirror, you look for the hair that's out of place, you fix the things that are wrong on your face, and you get yourself presentable the way you want to be presented. It shows your failures and faults so that you can fix them. The Word of God, the light of Christ in His Word is exactly the same. It's going to show us our faults and our failures. The question is, when the light reveals the sin in our life, what do we do? Do we come to the light and fix what's wrong? Or are we like those whose deeds are evil and they love the darkness rather than the light because they can hide in the dark? And their sin is not brought out in the open, causing shame and humiliation. God tells us where the sin really lies. The sin problem is in our heart. And so the light reveals. The light can be resisted. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we usually use the expression of stepping on our toes. And how many of us like getting our toes stepped on? I don't think any of us do. But do we resist the light when it's the Holy Spirit that is speaking to us? Sometimes people accuse the preacher of meddling. Well, sometimes really it's just the Holy Spirit, and He's saying, hey, yeah, you have a problem there. You need to fix that. He's shining the light in that dark corner of our lives that needs to get fixed. And so do we resist the light, or do we come to the light and get things with the Lord taken care of and get forgiveness? And God tells us why people resist the light is because their deeds are evil. People would rather sin freely than live a holy life. But there are great blessings when we let the Word of God shine in our lives and show us our faults and failures so that we can be more like our Savior. Can you think of someone in the Bible who loved darkness and hated the light? There are many in the Bible. Can you think of one on the spot? Can anybody think of someone who loved darkness and hated light? Judas. Well, he was about as close as you can get to the light, but he rejected it. He was in it for himself. He was looking for the prestige of being so close to Christ. Yeah, we know what he was doing the whole time. He was stealing the money that people gave to Jesus. A very sad man. Anyone else think of someone who loved the darkness and hated the light? Barabbas. Yes, he lived a very wicked life. And there are several others. One that I thought of just a little while ago was Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim was a king in the Old Testament. He was a wicked king. And God had Jeremiah write His word. He wrote the prophecies. He was essentially telling the king, you need to come back to the Lord. You need to get things taken care of. Do kings generally like to be reproved and told that they're in the wrong? No, they don't usually respond well. And so Jehoiakim was sitting down and someone was reading the scroll to him from Jeremiah. And he just thought, whatever. He cuts off a chunk of it, throws it in the fire. Keeps reading, unrolls more and more and more. So he cuts off another chunk of the scroll and tosses it in the fire. He loved his darkness. He loved the evil ways. He hated the light. Well, God said, in essence, Jeremiah wrote again, and he added a whole lot more stuff to it. He says, you think you can destroy my word, but you can't. And now you're going to pay a price for it. And so light is resisted in people's lives. But I hope that we don't resist the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. When the Spirit is working in your life, let the light shine. Come to the light. When you get your sin taken care of, I promise you, it'll bring you joy. It'll bring you happiness. You'll know, like a young child who's pleasing their father, you'll know that you're pleasing your heavenly Father. Also, let's turn to 1 John chapter 1. Light rewards. Light rewards. There are rewards for doing what is right. 1 John chapter 1, we'll look at verses 5 through 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This then is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. There are blessings that we can have when we are close to Christ, when we let the light do what the light is supposed to do. When you have company over, you like to have a clean house, don't you? We all do. We feel that need, oh, I better hurry up and clean. In fact, Pastor Paul says he likes having company every now and again because it makes him clean the house. And it does. But light has a reward. When we clean up our spiritual house, God will be very near and dear to us. In verse 7, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. To have fellowship with God, that is a privilege. Some people, even Christians, don't make a whole lot out of that privilege. They just let it go. They don't spend time in prayer. They don't read the Bible. They're happy just keeping God at an arm's distance. But when you get close to Christ, it is a blessing to have him near. To know that he is there. He is there in your trials. You know that when suffering comes into your life, that there's a reason behind it. And then the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. My brother was in the Marines. He did a tour in Afghanistan. And he said the water that they had to drink was essentially you leave your hot water on for 2 minutes. And that's what they had to drink the whole time. It got up to, I want to say he said 130, but that sounds a little crazy. I don't remember. But it was very hot. And he said they had to go for an entire month without taking a shower. Imagine people who don't want to be clean from their sin. They just live like that. Oh, they stink. But after you stink for a while, you don't even smell it anymore. And I could only imagine what a whole group of Marines who haven't taken a shower in a month must have smelled like. You'd be glad your nose doesn't work in that environment. But the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from all sin. There are blessings when we come to the light. The light that God gives is something that we should cherish. And so when we sin, we lose fellowship with God. When his light comes in and we have forgiveness of our sins, and as we make a determination to live right, then we have God's light once again and his cleansing blood that gives us a clear conscience. Some people don't have a clear conscience. As they may near death's door and they're laid on their back and they've got time to think, they're going to have a lot of mistakes to think about. And it's going to leave them with despair rather than happiness. But when we follow Christ, he gives us a clean conscience. He washes away that filth in our conscience as we live right as well. And so there are great blessings. Light has a reward to it when we come to the light. John 3:21, we read it a little bit ago. But he that doeth truth, in other words, practices what God tells us in his word, he says, this person comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So in conclusion, we enjoy light. It's great to have. I'm glad I have a light so that I can see, and you have light. And as we go home, we have light. It's all around us. And it shows us what's out there. Christ gives us light for salvation. Has there been a time and a place where you realize that you were a sinner? You realize, because the Bible teaches it, that the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. There's a second death, the book of Revelation says, and that is the lake of fire. And then have you ever realized that the Bible says that Jesus died on the cross for you? God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Was there a time when you realized that Jesus died for you? And then was there a time you realized that though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, or because of Jesus Christ, our Lord, what he did on the cross? Then was there a time and place when you asked Jesus to save you from your sin and to take you to heaven? If you haven't done that, you can do that today. We'll be done in about 3 minutes after we dismiss. If you want me to show you from God's Word how you can be saved, today can be the day that you receive the light of Christ for salvation. And for those of us who are saved, light gives us instruction. We read God's Word. Read it every day. Take a Bible reading schedule on the table as you go out. And in 2024, give it about 15 minutes a day, and you can read the entire Bible. And you can see everything that God has to say. We need the instruction of His Word. It is light for our soul. And then also, light is given to us for our sanctification. That's a fancy word, but it just is the process by the way we are now, the way Jesus is. It's the transition from who we are now to being who we should be, like Jesus Christ. So light is given to us. Light reveals the darkness in our heart. It shows us the faults and failures that we have, our sins, so that we can get it taken care of. Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's God's estimation of who we really are. So light is given to us in His Word so that we can have a heart that is like Christ. And so you choose what you're going to do with God's light. I would encourage you, don't resist the light. Come to the light. Fix what's wrong. Then enjoy the blessings that God has for you. So Christ is the light. He's what the world needs. And it's the light that we need also. Will you come to the light?